Hi, ich bin Marietta und das hier ist der Rote Faden Podcast und ich freue mich, dass du hier bist, mit mir in die Welt der Geschichten und der Magie einzutauchen und dir mit mir die tieferen Fragen des Lebens zu stellen, die ich mir und anderen Gästen auf diesem Podcast stelle. Ich kann es kaum erwarten, loszulegen. Also lehn dich zurück und let's go!
Hello, hello and welcome to another rather spontaneous podcast episode on this beautiful afternoon in October. It is in English again, as I wanted to share a story I wrote this summer, and it is about transformative storytelling. I will tell you a story. It's a short dialogue between a cockroach father and a cockroach son, which inspired me to think about oneness, how things we judge are actually part of the creation of everything, and things we despise or put names of it, of where we say it's disgusting, how it can be part of us, and to shift the look at things in life that happen to us that we name as bad, or we put a heavy judgment on it and we give it a story title of "that happened to me in my life," and then we put it into a box and make it our ego identity, and we never look at it again, and we create a suffering and victimization part within ourselves that holds us in a box, literally, and we don't free ourselves from the narrative that could be us, that we have the capacity to hold. And as we live in a world of polarity, black and white, day and night, darkness and light, it exists. And the denying part of it, putting it away in a box, that what we don't like so we can avoid, the box is gonna start shaking and messing up your life. But if we reframe the naming of the story, if we put in another line, we create the capacity to hold polarity within our existence, our consciousness, and our potential expands in so many ways, in many dimensions, many directions. And we can hold the capacity of seeing both at the same freaking time, which is extraordinary. It is pretty cool, actually, to be able to see both sides of the medal, which is actually one in the end. Well, enough for now. My little short, sweet introduction is over. And before I start sharing the story, I wanted to share one epiphany with you that I had recently that seems quite important to share. It is about the muses, which I work with a lot lately. And as you can hear in my last podcast episode, we dove in deep into the knowledge about the muses, why they're here to inspire us, help us, support us, and why it's not second knowledge and super important on our internal journey. And you can listen to it if you want. We go in depth. But my epiphany was, as the muses are quite a vague concept, you might know their names, you might know a bit about creativity, about inspiration, but who the fuck are they? This is also a question that made me wonder, made me think. And a couple of days back, I read an email from a woman I appreciate, and she wrote, "My creative muses." Of course, I opened it because I was like, oh, she's talking about the muses. And then she wrote how The rose, the flower, was her muse and inspired her to write her first book. And in this moment, I realized that the muses are like an eternal concept of creativity and motion, but they can come in any way or physical form to us if we are open, if we ask, if we open our eyes, if we listen, if we are receptive, and if we allow ourselves to go on a creative walk or follow our internal impulses when we are in the creation process of something in our life and bring things into motion. And then everything can be brought to us by the muses. But for me, that meant I can fully let go of any expectation of how creativity comes to me, how it reflects back on me, how I am in the creation process. But it's an intertwine. It's like it's an answer and a response. It's like not a singular process. I shout into the woods and nothing comes back. There's always the echo. But there's also somebody on the other side shouting back. There's an interest from the other side that your creative projects come into life, into fruition, into movement. It is so important that your ideas are heard, that everything that comes to you, we don't have to respond to everything, but the urge in us to create, to set things in motion is what keeps us going, keeps us driving. Creativity nourishes us in a way that nothing else ever can. So we are in creative motion. We are creative beings. We have this urge, this necessity to create. As artists, we all are artists, and we don't want to let our inner artist starve out. We are not starving. We want to thrive. We want to feed it. So going on a creative walk or a jog or a run or whatsoever, even if you're not in a creative full-time job, how can I incorporate more creativity? How can I interact with it? And that is my little impulse, and I will leave you with that. And if you want to know more or dive deeper, this is also a very big and important part, how I work in my client one-on-one sessions and my journeys. Now I will go to the next chapter. I want to share with you a story about cockroaches. The title of the story is The Cockroach That Didn't Want to Be Himself Anymore. And the undertitle is Be Yourself, No Matter What They Say. The kid says, "Hey, Dad, why is being a cockroach such a pain in the ass?" The dad, "Hey, son, what's going on? Who said that? Did something happen to you?" The kid, "Everyone hates us." The dad, "Who hates you, son?" The kid, "Everywhere we go, every house we clean, every stuff that we eat when we come out at night so we don't disturb their lives, we're being so nice, and all they do is yell at us, curse us, scream at us." The dad, "Don't say that, son. Listen, there is a saying in cockroach history that this is our fate, our destiny, to be hated by everyone. But does this mean we have to stop being ourselves? That we have to pretend to be someone else? We are what we are, and we do what we do, because there is a higher plan that is beyond what we understand. If what we are doing is good or bad is a human perception, but in the totality of it all, we have a plan, a purpose, a sense why we are alive. The kid. Yes, Dad, but to be hated by everyone? I want everyone to like me, like they like supermodels or top stars. The dad chuckles a little. Yes, kid, I get that. I was once like you are now, but ask yourself, are those liked superstars and top models truly being themselves? What if they only wear nice bling-bling costumes, but have a cockroach identity underneath that? Look, I see that being yourself is not like you thought you wanted it, but to experience love, the totality of it means being despised, rejected by everyone else but you. It is a road of unconditional love, only for yourself, by you and no one else. That is the only thing that matters. And if you keep being true to yourself, no bending over, no ego dance, and be in the knowing of who you truly are, even if people tell you that it is bad what you're doing, you know what your purpose is to disrupt their pattern of perception. They need to know that black and white, good and evil, is only a stamp they put on things. To put an order into their logic, to get an understanding of the chaotic existence of a universe that eternally expands, where there is no time and space and the only constant is change. Imagine them shivering in their false illusion of security, their safe houses. Now, we come in and say, hey, everything you have now can be gone and be disrupted tomorrow. It no longer exists when we are done with your house. We shake them up a little so they can learn that everything comes and goes. They learn to embrace change, let go of the old, and embrace something new. The humans have forgotten about that. When they build something up in their minds, they say, it has to be forever, and if it is not forever, that it has no value, that it is no good. They do that in their homes, they do that to their loved ones, their jobs, everything. They hold on to it, like their life depends on it, resisting the eternal presence of life. That which represents life is constant flow and change. So, most people become resistant to life itself when they build up their forever castles in their minds. Yes, we piss them off in their sense of false security and their illusions of safety. But in the greater sense, we keep them going in the flowing that is life, the rhythm that is life, the rhythm of eternal change, the rhythm of life and death, the rhythm of ebb and flow, the higher times, the lower times, the fragrances of eternity that lies in every breath and moment. The breath and flow of eternity and life is only to be found in the constant flow of change. Eternity is a rhythm. Life is a dance of death and change. The easier it goes, the easier it flows. The kid. Dad, I didn't know you were so wise and smart. The dad. You never asked, kiddo. And if they haven't died, they still are cockroaching around somewhere today. The end. This is the end of our little podcast, intermezzo, my little solo episode. I will leave you with that. I will not go into any interpretation. I think the story stands by itself. and have a beautiful rest of your day.